Once again, we'd like to say that truly it is good to be in the house of God, and we're just thankful for everything that He has done. I'm thankful for the songs that we've sung this morning, and how that great singing always gets us in the spiritual mood to go ahead and listen to the preached word of God. And so, you know, as I said, this is a great church to be a part of, a member of. It's a loving church. It's people that cares for the community, and they care for one another. But at this time, we'll go ahead and get into the message, and you continue to pray that God's will be done this morning. We want to look over in Ephesians chapter 6, very familiar scripture. And we know that today that we're in a great warfare. And I believe that the Bible shows us as Christians how that we can defeat Satan, and how that we can have victory today in our Christian life. Now, I know that today that there's been many of us that even through this week that we've had great battles. Many of us just didn't know how we was going to get through the next day. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I tell you today that there's victory in serving God. There's victory in serving Him. But let's just go ahead and look over in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And we're just going to read just a couple verses, and then we'll go ahead and get into the message that God has laid upon our heart. And so as we begin to look here, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Shall we pray? Father, as we come to you once again, Lord, we know that today that there's victory if we'll just serve you. And the Bible tells us, as the Apostle Paul said, how that we must put on the whole armor of God, that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. And Lord, we pray for our church today that we'd just be a soul winning station for thee. And we pray for Sue that you'd just be the great physician. And Lord, that you'd touch her body. And Lord, we know there's healing power through you. And Lord, we just pray that your will be done in this life, and be with her family. And Lord, we pray for this church this morning. Lord, there's many here that are troubled and trialed, and Lord, they just don't know which way to turn. But Father, before the end of this service, Lord, if they'll just surrender to you and say, "Lord, I turn everything over to you," we know that everything's going to be great. Father, we just be careful to give the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we find here over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, we find that the scripture tells us what? It says to fight the good fight of faith. And so as we begin to look this morning, it's time that we as Christians get up and put our armor on, and then we can come to God's house, and then we can be strong. But let's look here, first of all, the soldier charge. A charge that's for us as an individual. The charge is here, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in His power and in His might." So the charge is this morning that we got to be strong in the Lord. And you know, a lot of times we think, well, in my physical body, when I was a young teenager, I wanted to lift weights and I wanted to have a big muscles and big triceps and all that stuff. And I wanted to lift weights, and I thought, man, that would make me strong. Well, you can see today that my teenage dream has never come true. I don't have those big muscles and things like that. But that's not what the Bible is speaking to us about this morning, the physical strength. We need to take care of the body that God has given us. Yes, we need to eat. We need to exercise. But the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. And that's how we're going to be able to defeat Satan this morning, if we're just strong in the Lord this morning. How do I become strong? The Bible says that if we'll wait upon the Lord, He will renew our strength. And then over in Psalms chapter 27, it says, "Fear not." And Psalmist David said that God told him, said, "I will strengthen you." That's where that we get our strength from this morning. And so we can find that today that we need strength. But let's look over in Ephesians in the scripture here in just a second. And let's look over in Ephesians chapter 3, I believe it is. But let's look over in chapter 3. In verse 16, and then we find here that it says, what does the scripture say here in verse 16?
He that would grant you according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might by the spirit of the inner man. So you see, it's speaking about the spiritual body, how that we need to become strong and able to withstand the wiles of the devil. So you've got to be strong here this morning. And you know, there's a lot of Christians, a lot of times in my Christian life, I was very weak a lot of times, but it took men of God that came and they knelt and they prayed with me. I found strength through them. But my strength comes through God. He said, I will strengthen the inner man. That's your charge this morning. If you want to be able to defeat Satan and you've got a great battle in your life, the Bible says, be strong in him. The charge goes out this morning. And so we've got to be strong in order to put on the whole armor of God. Oh, in Isaiah chapter 40, what does the scripture say? It says, fear not. He says, I am with thee. He said, the God said, I will strengthen thee. And he says, I hold you in my right hand of righteousness. So God has us in his hand. And so when you're facing troubles and trials, don't quit. Don't cow down and say, well, I'm going to quit church. I've seen many people that was on fire for God. When trials come, the first thing they do is say, I quit. I give up. The Bible says, be strong, because he says, I've got you in my right hand. As I said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so we can look today. The charge goes out to be strong. We find that the psalmist David, he was just a wee little man. And we find that he was a young lad. And what happened to him? We find the Bible said that one day he visited his brothers. And there was a great giant out there called Goliath. And he was out there crying. And he says, I want you to come and send your greatest warrior. And he screamed out above the crowds. And the soldiers, they were all cowed down. They were afraid. They were weak. And they were afraid to go out and face Goliath. But David said, who is that? And they said, he's a great giant. He's Goliath. And David said, I'll go. He was just a young lad, but he was not afraid because he knew that his strength rose and grew in the Lord God himself. And so David said, I'll go. And Saul said, no, you're just a young lad. And he's been trained to be a warrior from his youth up. There's no way that you can go. But they said, all right, David, you go. And he began to try on the armor, the physical armor of Saul, and he was putting it on, and he said, you know, he said, I can't. He says, I've not proved this armor. I don't need this armor to go out and fight that great giant. I don't need this armor because, he says, I'm going in the name of God. And he goes out, and Goliath was there, and then we find that Goliath was made fun of him. He says, am I just a dog that they send just a young lad out here to take care of me? But he said, what did David say? He says, I come in the name of the living God. And we can find that he had great victory that day because his strength, he had on the armor of God, the spiritual armor of God. His inner strength had been strengthened by God. And then we find that he took that stone and Goliath fell and he come to his death that day. He faced that great giant. And we can find that he was able to put on his armor of God. And he came out and he defeated that great giant. So are you here this morning? There's a great giant in your life today that you're having a battle with. I can say that today that you can defeat that great giant if you'll just depend upon the strength of the Lord God himself. And so we continue to move on this morning as we find the scriptures here. And then we find the soldier's enemy. You've got to realize who your enemy is. The Bible says that we can put on the whole armor of God. But now you've got to realize who the enemy is. Let's look here in verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look and see what verse 11 says to us here. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We can find that this, what word wiles means trickery. You've got to know who the enemy is this morning. And the Bible says that Satan is what? Like a roaring lion, seeking to devour whom that he may. And he would deceive the very elect. if possible. So you see, he cannot deceive me because I'm a Christian. I'm born again and I've got the Word of God. And so I should not let Satan deceive me. I should have that power. But as we find, we need to know who the enemy is this morning in order. Who are we fighting against? You know, just for a brief moment, I want everyone to look at the person beside them, the one over across from them, the one behind them. You see, those people that you're looking at right now, they're not your enemy. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. I've seen a lot of churches today in my lifetime that's been battling among one another. Oh, and James, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. He says, you war among yourselves. And he says, you've got this ungodly things going on. You're fighting among yourselves. When we as church members disagree with one another and we begin to fight with one another, then we're letting Satan rest. And there's no place, as I said, you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. If I disagree with you, then I need to come and put my arm around your neck and tell you that I love you. You can work out the differences. The churches do not have to be destroyed because someone got angry at someone else. I've seen people walk out of business meetings in churches that I grew up in. I've had a person tell me that if I showed up and preached in church that I better put my boxing gloves on simply because he was aggravated at something that had been done in the church. But you see, today we need to know who the enemy is, and it's Satan. He's like a roaring lion. He's out there. That word wiles, what does it mean? It means trickery. He'll deceive you if possible. The Bible says that over in 1 John chapter 2, it begins to speak about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of the world. And so we can find that here, the pride of life. And then we can find that the Bible says that if you love the world, that the love of God is not in you. And so these are the enemies that Satan will use to destroy you. You've got to know what the enemy is. And that's what Satan used against Eve herself. We find that she saw that the fruit was good. It would be good for food. And so she began to lust of the flesh. You know, I've got to have that. I need that. It'll be good for me if I have that. And then the lust of the eyes, she saw that it was good. And she began to look at that. And she began to want that, and then she began to eat it. But we can find that the lust of the flesh, what destroys a lot of marriages a lot of times. As I said, this is the enemy. This is what Satan uses to tear down your Christian testimony here this morning. There's some people in marriages, they'll look at someone else, and they'll say, you know, it looks better on the other side. I believe I'll just leave my wife or my husband, and I'll go to that. But you see, the lust of the eyes will destroy your life. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your church today. That's what the enemy is this morning. You know, a lot of times preachers are afraid to preach against sin, but I don't care anymore. Brethren, the Bible says that we've got to preach the Word of God. We've got to stand on the Word of God. And, you know, if it hurts us, then, brethren, what do I need to do? I need to just kneel down and I need to ask for forgiveness in my life. And then I can get up and I can go and start doing what God called me to do. But we can find that here, that there's a lot of things, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And so she says, you know, the devil told Eve, said, if you'll just see to that, your eyes will be open and you'll be just as God. So she had pride in her life. She wanted to have her eyes open that she could be just like God. And then that pride crept in. There's a lot of preachers and a lot of people that'll stand behind a pulpit and they'll say, look at what I've done. Look at how great that I am, the pride of life. And I've seen guys I had a guy with a doctorate degree that every time that he stood behind a pulpit, he'd get up and he said, I done this and I done that and I've done this. And the first thing I done was just flipped off the sound system because I didn't want to hear anybody that said, look at what I've done. We've got to look and see what God can do through us. And it's not nothing that I've done, but it's all through God. Realize who the enemy is. We're fighting a great battle today. You have to realize that it's not the person sitting next to you. It's not the church members. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we can come together in one mind, in one accord, as in the Bible of Acts, and have that unity, then we can put our strength to doing what? fighting the devil. The Bible says that we need to put on the whole armor of God. We'll get into that in just a few moments. And then let's go ahead and let's look at the soldiers' warfare and the battle that we're really actually fighting. In verse 12 here, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, the world, and the spiritual wickedness in high places." But notice that word there. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of darkness." And so we find that this word wrestle here, the Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about when he said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and these powers of darkness." It begins to use the Greek word of an athlete. When a wrestler would get out and they would have a wrestling match, what happened? Well, the one that usually won, he was the one that would finally pin his opponent to the ground. And he'd put his hand around his opponent's neck and he'd hold him down there. And that was a sign that he had won that battle. But then what happened to the loser when he got up? And the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against but we wrestle against the powers of darkness." This shows us the threat that we're really against Satan today. Because when that opponent that lost, his eyes would be gouged out and he became blind for the rest of his life. You see, he was the loser of that match. So you see, we're having a fighting match against the devil today. And if you fool around with sin, then you're going to be blinded. You're going to lose some power in your Christian life. But let's look over in 2 Corinthians here in just a second, and let's see what the Scripture says about how 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, as we begin to see through the Scripture here this morning. Let's look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. "If the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has what? Has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should be shined unto them." So we can find here that it says that if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. But the God of this world has blinded the minds of those. And so you see, it's easy for the devil to creep in to your life. And if you're not careful, he'll begin to blind you through these worldly things. You know, today, as we look around the world today, there's things in our lifetime that we used to call sin. That's not sin no more. Churches used to stand against sin. You know, I was in a big church one time in their Sunday school class, and they was talking about drinking and things. And I told them, I said, "I truly believe, I know that getting drunk is a sin." But then they was talking about just drinking in your house, and you could bring the liquor into your house, and you can go ahead and drink it as long as no one else sees you. But the Bible says that I am to be an example to the lost and dying world. And when I get my beer, and if I go to the store and I carry out my six pack and stuff like that, there's somebody that's going to see that preacher getting that, and they're going to say, "I thought he was a Christian." And what I usually say to people that says, "Well, I can drink and I can do whatever I want to do," I say, "Come with me. Let's go to the drunkard's house and let's go witness to them and tell them that they need to be born again into the family of God, and let's see what that drunkard would tell you if you got a beer in your hand." You see, sin is sin, and the Bible has blinded us today over these sins. And brethren, I think that we need to stand upon the authority of God's word. And brethren, we need to stand against sin, and we don't need to be blind to it. The Bible says, let's watch out, because we wrestle against these things today. That's what we're fighting against today. And so as we begin to see that it's a great spiritual warfare, many are losing the battle today simply because we gave in to the devil. But the Apostle Paul had been chained to a soldier, and so we can find it here. He was very sincere in this message. He said, let's watch out. He said, you need to know the warfare that you're in today. But then as we begin to look on, let's look at the soldier's duty
Let's look over to Romans chapter 13 and verse 12.
But the soldier's duty in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done it all, stand. But here it says to put on the whole armor. Let's look over in Romans chapter 13, and let's look and see what the scripture tells us here this morning. Romans chapter 13, and let's look in verse 12. We'll back up and just read verse 11. How that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of the sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So the soldier's duty is to put on that armor. We can find that here that it says, let us put off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And Christ is that light here this morning. And the only way that I can have victory today is that I need to separate myself from Satan himself. And I need to begin to put on that armor of God. And I need to have that love of God in my heart. You say, preacher, this is a hard message this morning. You're preaching very hard and very stern. But it's the Word of God. And the only way that we can have victory today is that we can put our trust in Him and put on that armor of God, and then you're going to begin to see Christians begin to have a desire to go out and to be a witness for God. I want to see people born again into the family of God, but as long as I harbor sin in my life and try to do it in the secret of my home, then I tell you, you may not know it, and my son may not know it, my wife may not know it. But God in heaven knows what's in my heart. He knows what's in my life and what I'm doing. So you're not getting away with it. Over in Hebrews, the Bible says, brethren, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that word brethren means Christians. And it means that if you allow sin to creep into your life, that it's going to be a fearful thing when God brings judgment upon your life. Just because I'm a Christian and because I believe in eternal salvation does not mean that I can go out and do anything that I want to do, because God will bring judgment. So the Bible says, let us put on this armor of light. You know, you can take a flashlight when it's very dark and it begins to light up the room. And you know, that's what we as Christians are to the lost and dying world. You're a light to them. They look at your life. They look at the life that you're living. And if you're living that Christian life, they'll begin to say, hey, that is a man of God. That is a woman that really, truly loves God. They have the armor of light on. You know, today there's people that, as I said, there's people that talks to me, says, well, I don't want to go to church anymore because I've looked at the life of my neighbor. I've looked at the life of the man that I work with, and I see what they do. So I have no desire, because they're not really, truly living for Christ. Put off that darkness and put on the light of God, that armor. It's your duty to do that. You know, today you can look at the song leader, you can look at the deacons of this church, and you can try to hold them responsible for your spiritual life. And I hope and pray that this morning when you come to this service that you was looking for something great to happen this morning. But you know, you don't have to depend on the deacons of this church. You don't have to depend upon the preacher to bring you a great message or anything like that. You should already be fired up when you come to God's house. You should already be fitted up to come, and you should be ready to go, because it's your responsibility to put on that armor. I cannot put it on for you this morning. And so we find that it's our responsibility to put on the whole armor of God. Now we'll get into the part of the message, and we'll be closing here in just a little while. But let's look at the armor of God and see what it does for us as we look here in verse 14. It says, but therefore, having your loins girt with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. But the first part of it, it says, having your loins girt with the truth. And so we find that this is a part, a belt, or a girdle, if you please. And what would it do? It would help hold all of your uniform together. It would hold everything all together. And also this belt would hold your sword and your weapon that you was going to use. And so we find that here it says, put on the belt of truth. And so we find that the Bible says what? That Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father. Father, but by me. And so we've got to have that truth surrounding us. The truth is Christ Himself, this Word of God, and it will hold us together. It will strengthen us. It'll give us the soldier, when he had that belt around him, he was able to move and fight the battle that he wanted to fight. But you've got to have that truth today. And if you don't have Christ in your life, you're just fighting an empty battle today. You'll never win. But when you've got Him on your side and you stand upon that truth and you stand upon the Word of God, brethren, you know, as I said, greater is He that is in me than he is in the world. So I stand this morning upon the Word of God, and I'll never err away from the Word of God. And whatever I say, brethren, is through the Holy Spirit of God, and I'll use the Word of God to preach it. And that's the truth here this morning. This Word right here, there's a lot of people that's changed the Word of God. They say, well, we can do whatever we want to, and we don't have to really go by the Scripture anymore because it's not real. But Jesus says, I am that truth. And this is right here. He was made the truth. He was begin to made the Word over in John. And so as we continue to move on, then it says to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible says that we were made righteous by Him. And so this breastplate, what did it do? It would cover you from about right here down to your waist, your front and your back. It was a protection. And so we can put on that breastplate of righteousness. It would protect your heart, your main organs. And so you see, when we have Christ in our life and we're made righteous and we're living the right life for Him, then we are going to be protected from the fiery darts, the arrows, and all the weapons that the devil would shoot at us. Brethren, we can stand. Why can we do that? Because we have Him on us, and He's protecting our front side. He's protecting my backside, that the devil cannot enter and penetrate that armor today because of Christ Himself. And so that's part of the armor that you're to have. And then it goes on to continue on. Then it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We can find that the Roman soldiers, they had a lot of times they had sandals. And on them sandals, they would put nails on the bottom of their shoes. And then when they got out there and they were beginning to do battle with the enemy, then they could make a firm stand on that ground without slipping and without failing. And it says to put on the gospel shoes. And brethren, the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those that carry the message of God. And brethren, we too are to put on those gospel shoes, and then we can take a stand. And then when the devil comes at me full force, then I'm going to be able to stand there. And he's not going to be able to knock me down. Why? Because I'm prepared to go, and I have the gospel shoes on my feet. And that's according to you also this morning. You need to have those shoes on, and you need to dig in, because the devil's going to hit you with everything that he can, especially this morning. He might be telling you, so don't listen to that preacher. Brethren, the Word of God says that you've got to have these gospel shoes on. And what does that mean? It means that you and I are to go outside of this church door, and we're to take the gospel to the lost and dying world. A lot of churches have failed to do that, but God said, I want you to go, and I want you to baptize these people in the Great Commission. And so we too are to take the gospel to the lost and dying world, and we got to have the gospel shoes on, and we're to carry the message of peace. And that message of peace is God loves you. God loves everybody in this church this morning. Doesn't matter what background you come from, how rich or how poor. I'm glad today that it didn't cost money because I'd never been saved. I was the poorest of poor. But I tell you, God said, I love you, Herschel, and He saved my soul, and I was born again into the family of God, and I'm thankful for that. But then as we continue on, what else does it say? And it says here in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, take that shield of faith. You can find that the Roman shield, a lot of times it was kind of lightweight, but it was also protect them. But you know some of the things that these Roman shields would do. They would interlock together. And then when these soldiers began to march, they marched in one great force, and they had their shields in front of them. The Bible says that God told Abram, he said, what? He said, I am your shield. And so that shield, when we as a church begin to interlock together and we join hands together, what's going to happen? You're going to have power in God. You're going to see great things begin to happen that you've never seen before. But it takes every soldier joining together, locking that shield, and we begin to march forward. As we sung this morning, onward Christian soldiers, we're to march forward. It's not back up and continue to backing up. And what happens when you back up and you don't know where you're going? You're going to trip and you're going to fall. But God's people needs to continue to move forward. God said, I am that shield. And he says, I'll be with you. And so when Satan comes and he gives his best to me, I can take that shield and I can say, get away from me. How did Jesus use? He used the word of God. He said, Satan, get thee hence, because it is written. When the devil began to tempt Christ in the wilderness, he used the word of God to defeat Satan. And so you and I, what can I use? We can use the word of God to defeat him. And so then we continue as we begin to close here in just a moment. But there's another part of this armor that we need to put on. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the helmet of salvation. And you know, this helmet would protect what? It would protect their head. And I tell you, it needs to protect our mind today. As I said, Satan will begin to attack your mind if you're not careful. And if you don't have that helmet of salvation on, then he can penetrate and he'll get into your mind and cause you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. But when you got that helmet on, then you can march forward for God. As I said, you got your shield on, you got your helmet on, you got your breastplate on. But then it says, above all, take that shield and that sword. And then it says, "Quit that sword is the word of God." So the sword, the Bible says it's sharper. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll cut asunder, so we can take the word of God to the lost and dying world. And it'll cut out these things that are in people's lives today. But it takes the word of God to get it done. You know, a lot of times you can say, well, we're going to have a big hot dog cookout. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. But people are begotten by the word of God. It still takes the word. You can have these things, and it's good to have these things, but you still need to have the word of God. And so we need to put on the whole armor of God. But then, as we find here that we have the sword, are you using that sword today? We as Christians need to use the word. We need to have the sword with us. But then, in verse 18, it said, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all reverence and supplication for all saints, praying. That's where we're going to have our power. And so we've got to have power in God. We can put on the whole armor of God. We can be ready to go. But we need to just kneel down and we need to continue to pray to God the Father. The Bible says that He'll give us the sincere desires of our heart. And so we need to pray. We need to pray for those that are lost today. We need to pray for this church. We need to pray for those that are sick. But it's through prayer that we're going to win this battle. And there's a lot of things that we can look at in this church. And you can say, well, preacher, I just really don't like the way things are going on. Well, if you really don't like the way things are going on, then kneel down and pray. And God will take care of things. That's where we're going to see things change. It's not talking about me or talking about the deacons, but brethren, it's going to be getting down and really being sincere in your heart and your life. And when you begin to pray, and you pray earnestly, and then pray, Father, let your will be done, then we're going to see great things. But then in verse 23, we find that what it says, and then we'll close. Here it says, peace be unto you, brethren, in love with faith from God the Father unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have peace and we can have love toward our brethren today. There's a great battle, a great warfare that's going on today. Are you here this morning and you're having a great battle in your life? And if you're really having such a hard time, I don't really need to know what your hard time is, or I don't really need to know what your problem is. You don't have to say anything. But if you want to come to an old-fashioned altar and you just want to kneel and you just want to pray and you just want someone else to pray for you, all you have to do is say, "Preacher, pray. I need your help. I need some prayer. I don't need to know anything about your lifestyle. I don't need to know nothing. But I'll guarantee you one thing, that I'll kneel and I'll pray with you." And there's other people that are here that will kneel and they'll pray for you because you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm to uplift you. I'm to pray for you and I'm to help you in any way that I can. So you see, today, all you have to do, if you want peace in your life, then you come. Maybe you're here and you're lost and you've never been saved. And you need to truly realize that you're lost here this morning and you want to be saved, you want to be born again, you want to have this peace that I'm talking about, then you can come and you can experience such a great peace. I remember when I was lost, I had no hope, no peace. I had no family, no nothing. But I tell you, when I got saved, I had the biggest family in the whole world. And I tell you, I had a peace that passes all understanding. You can have that same peace here this morning. At this time, we're going to ask Tom to go ahead and come. We're going to give you an opportunity to come this morning. How is it with your heart, your soul? Will you come this morning? Will you turn everything over to God?